Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hours after the release of a disappointing July jobs report, President Trump fired Erica McIntarfer, the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I believe the numbers were phony, just like they were before the election, and there were other times. So you know what I did? I fired her.
Right.
And you know what? I did the right thing.
Economists, though, criticized the move, citing the Bureau's history of providing nonpartisan data. On Wall Street, the Dow fell by more than 500 points, in part because of the president's new tariffs. President Trump also announced he's repositioning two new U.S. nuclear submarines, citing what he called highly provocative statements made by Russia's former president, Dmitry Medvedev. Authorities in Montana continue searching for Michael Brown, a 45-year-old suspected of entering a bar in Anaconda and opening fire, killing four people. It's not clear what led up to the shooting. And four astronauts now aboard the International Space Station, the replacement crew arriving via SpaceX. This is ABC News. The federally funded entity that provides grants to public broadcasters is shutting down, says ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The Corporation for Public Broadcasting was established by Congress in 1967 to fund the nation's non-commercial radio and television stations. But with Congress acting at the president's request to pull back the next 2 years' worth of funding, CPB's CEO says the entity now faces the difficult reality of having to shut down. Most staff positions will be eliminated at the end of the fiscal year on September 30th. A statement says a small team will stay through next January to close out operations.
Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's associate, who's serving 20 years in prison for sex trafficking, was transferred from a prison facility in Florida to a prison facility in Texas. No reason for the transfer was given. And the bar exam for aspiring lawyers in New York was interrupted this week when a test taker collapsed shortly before a break at Hofstra University. The school says public safety administered life-saving aid. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. A new report shows Wisconsin again falls behind the national average in per-pupil spending for public schools. Experts say a two-year funding freeze in the current state budget ensures the decline will continue. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum study shows the state spent less than $15,000 per student in 2023, nearly 10% less than the national average. Joellen Pauls is a retired Middleton Cross Plains special education teacher. She says the state of public school funding in Wisconsin is an ongoing crisis that the current state budget guarantees will continue.
There is no per pupil increase for 2 years. No increase. That's a funding freeze. And that puts a lot of districts in a hard place scrambling to determine how do we even just get through this school year.
Among Midwestern states, Wisconsin ranked first in per-pupil spending on public schools back in 2002. According to the report, its ranking has since dropped to 7th among Midwestern states and 26th nationwide. In the past 5 years, more than half of Wisconsin's public schools have held referendums to allow districts to increase property taxes to cover basic costs for schools. Pauls says where those referendums have failed, districts face difficult decisions about increasing class sizes and reducing staff.
Honestly, it's an insult to the students in our public schools. And for lack of a better word, it's irresponsible. It's a shirking of our legislators' duty to our communities and to our state's future.
She says student mental health support and special education continue to be poorly funded in the current state budget. Wisconsin was also grappling with losing $72 million due to a federal K-12 funding freeze, but administration officials now say they plan to release those funds. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and a high around 78. 55 tonight, mostly sunny on your Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. 78, mostly sunny on Monday. Tuesday, mostly sunny with highs in the low 80s, mid 80s Wednesday.
It's 54 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the show. Yes, a little different tunes here on the Rational Revolution, but you're in the right spot. Don't worry. Hey, thank you again for joining us. This is such an honor to be able to do. If you missed last week, that was a cool episode. It was my friend and Festival Food CEO Mark Scogan talked about what kind of makes him tick, and we stepped outside the political lines. That was really cool. It was a fascinating show, and I hope you're able to listen to it. This one's going to be freaking fascinating, too, because I've got one major baddie here who is doing some incredible things, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. What is up?
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I made an announcement on Friday that I am running for governor.
Yes, I was going to start off by saying, what have you been up to? Same old, nothing much.
If you want to laugh as well, it was actually my 50th birthday.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. So I guess that's a way to start out your 50s with a bang.
That is a hell of a way to celebrate your birthday. Right, yeah, oh my God. Wow, okay. Well, so it's like... That's amazing. And I kind of studying you a little bit, like your background is incredible. So, to before public service, I mean, some of the things that I didn't know about you, you volunteered for the Peace Corps, World Health Organization, got your master's at Johns Hopkins University. That school doesn't suck. Oh my God, you've done some amazing things. Why get into public service now?
So it's interesting. I do feel like service has always been part of my life, whether that is as a Peace Corps volunteer. I currently volunteer as my daughter's Girl Scout troop leader.
Oh my
God. I volunteer at our local Humane Society, even as Lieutenant Governor. But I had a long years of service in my career, particularly within public health, but politics was never part of the plan. Honestly, it was not. But when COVID hit in 2019, 2020, I was very frustrated with our legislature. They didn't meet for 8 months. They didn't talk to each other. They were not giving guidance when people were really worried. And that's when I saw this broken system. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring my clinical background. I'm a nurse by background. I was an epidemic intelligence service officer with the CDC. So I did outbreak investigations nationally, internationally. I'm going to bring that to the legislature. And so I ran for office and flipped a district from red to blue. I actually live in Waukesha County, so a pretty red county. And then I served in the assembly for 2 years. And then after that, I ended up running for lieutenant governor and then won with Governor Evers this last election cycle. And I've been grateful to be able to have the microphone that I have to talk about things that are important to me. And that's accessible, affordable healthcare, that's making sure people's housing costs are affordable, that people have access to childcare, and if they have access to it, they can actually afford it, and working with our union brothers and sisters to be able to restore their bargaining rights in Wisconsin, which is, it's been a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
And we know that that's going to lift wages for everybody all across the state.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it absolutely will. My grandpa was a bargainer for WEAC way back in the day. So, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. And like, so talk about that COVID thing, because, you know, I think that was such a powder keg that was waiting to go off. I mean, we had so much turmoil with the Trump administration. And then all of a sudden, like, it was interesting how all of the lies and the misinformation and alternate facts and all of that, that can kind of work. But then when you're faced with something where you need facts, like a pandemic, and where facts matter, and it's gone, there is chaos. Talk about what that was like. You were in healthcare.
Yeah, it was chaos. And a lot of times people within the healthcare profession were getting blamed for it. You know, we had a lot of violence within our hospital systems and in our clinics against our nurses, against our doctors, because people were listening to some of this misinformation and disinformation and then blaming it on their doctors and nurses if they suggested getting vaccinated. You know, I'm an old public health nurse. I've been working in healthcare and public health for a really, really long time. Vaccines are one of the greatest interventions ever done, you know, across public health, across healthcare. And it is really disappointing to see people voice their fear within communities that they don't get vaccinated. And then we have the risk of disability. We have the risk of death for people who are vulnerable. And what I like to tell people is that we vaccinate to be able to protect each other.
Right.
So my mom, she's 80 years old. She lives with me, right?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool, actually. And, you know, as we get older, our immune systems don't work as well. Just like when we're babies, our immune systems don't work as well. And so I get my family vaccinated to make sure that we can protect her better. She gets vaccinated too, but if we all make that circle around her, she's gonna do better than if we don't.
So how was that? Talk about the decision to make that first run for office. What did you sit down at the kitchen table with your family and be like, all right, here's what I want to do. What was that like?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So I sat down with my family. I sat down with my mom. So my mom has been living with me for quite a while. She actually has lived with me for over 10 years because my dad had gotten Alzheimer's really early. Oh, and so, we moved back to Wisconsin, I knew we were going to need some help. And so I offered to have them live with me, and he actually lived with me until he passed away.
Oh, wow.
And then she still lives with me now, but I did. I talked to my husband. I talked to my two kids. I've got two kids. They're now 16 and 18. I can't believe I have an adult child.
It goes so fast. It's not fair.
God. He can't bring the cups from his room down to the kitchen, yet now he's a grown person and an adult, and he's supposed to make his own decisions.
Right.
But that's another way. But we did. Uh-huh. We make decisions as a family because it's a family decision. And so we talked to them and said, hey, this is what I want to do. It's going to open up our lives a little bit more to scrutiny. Are you guys okay with that? And they were excited and supportive. They stuffed envelopes for me. They did all the things that would be helpful and this run as well. But my husband could not be more supportive, and my kids are really super supportive too. So it's been an exciting week since I've announced, and just, it hasn't even been a week. I think it's been 6 days. A lot of support coming out, a lot. And I think that's just, it's just wonderful to be able to see that.
So you were in the assembly, ran for lieutenant governor after one term.
After one term.
I'm interested to hear how that was like. I mean, was there anyone that was like, gasp, how dare you? You know, you this is, wait your turn, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Was there any of that?
I don't think so much. I mean, there may have been a little of it because I had been new on the political scene, but I'm not new just generally in terms of professionally. So
yeah,
I've been an executive outside of politics. I was an executive at a large healthcare system. Yeah. I was an executive at a Fortune 100 company. So I brought those skills with me to be able to work within the administration. I think they've been helpful. And I had tried to create as good of relationships as I could within the caucuses on the Democratic side and on the Republican side as well. And it's always challenging across the aisle. But, you know, I think that when you feel like you can bring something to the table, when you are listening to constituents, to Wisconsinites, and you want to be able to implement things that are just going to make their lives just a little bit easier, we don't want to wait for that, right? Yeah. We want to make sure that we're raising our hand and we're getting in the muck and we're going to get it done. And I'm ready to work. Lace up my shoes, get ready to work, get stuff done.
So then how you get elected as lieutenant governor. I wonder, you know, that would be like a surreal thing. Holy crap.
Yeah.
We're here. And, you know, there's been some amazing women trailblazers that have done that as well. I don't think have we had a woman governor?
Never had a woman
governor. So that would be an awesome ceiling to break through. How was that in being lieutenant governor?
It was surreal, especially initially. So I am the fourth woman lieutenant governor. We've had two Democrats and two Republicans be lieutenant governor since founding of the state in 1848. We have not had a female governor, but I would argue don't vote for me because I'm female. Vote for me because I'm the most qualified. And I'm the one that's going to be able to lead the state where we want it to go. But it was a transformative experience to become lieutenant governor and to be responsible administratively across the state, to travel all across all 72 counties I've done every year as lieutenant governor, and will continue to do that.
Cool.
And it, you know, it does take me away from my family sometimes, but again, they're teenagers. And so when I come home, I usually turn the Wi-Fi off so that they come out of their rooms to talk to me.
Nice.
And
that's a good
I've
trick.
Always, It's a very good trick. And I've always told my staff that if I can get home at night, just to be able to check in with everybody, even if it's late and I have to get up early in the morning, that's what I want to do. And so I've been truly committed to making sure that I touch base with my family, with my friends, that I stay grounded in what's going on around me, because it can be easy to only be listening to people who think like you. So trying to make sure that I'm keeping those relationships and having those conversations.
I think that's, you know, I mean, in your resume and the stuff that you've done being in like high leadership in some huge companies. Mm-hmm. Well, and people don't realize, you know, the size of Apple is like the size of Wisconsin. You know, I mean, the economy of Wisconsin is massive. All the states are huge. And so like having that experience, I think, to bring to the leadership team of, you know, Wisconsin Inc. is a really big deal too. You know, it's good to have people that have political experience, but it's also really, really good if you can have some practical real world experience outside of, because politics can be a bubble too.
It can be. Yeah, it can be a bubble. And I've noted that's one of the things that, you know, surprised me a little bit about politics is, as an executive within companies, I had to often work with people who didn't agree with me. And we would sit around the table and we would try to get things moving, and we would talk about what the issues were and what their concerns were, what mine were, how we could work together. And I was hoping for a little bit of that bipartisanship when I came into the assembly. Unfortunately, that is not really how the assembly and Senate work in that way, which was disappointing. But I know that when I talk to people across the state, they are exhausted with the partisanship, exhausted. They just want us to work for Wisconsin. They just want us to put policies into place. They don't care whether it's a Democratic policy or a Republican policy. They want us to put policies in place that just work for people, that help working families. And that's what I am going to try to do. But I'm going to fight for those policies that Democrats have always supported, which are union rights, making sure that we're fully funding our public schools, expanding Medicaid so we can bring dollars back to Wisconsin, being able to put dollars into our childcare system. Gosh, I mean, it is so expensive to be able to have childcare in Wisconsin, if you can find it, you can find it.
Yeah, it's horrifically hard. And I think, we're going to, there's so many challenges that we have. And we're going to keep talking about this with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the other side of the break. She's going to tell us where are we as a state, and then we're going to talk about where we're going. So stick around on the Rational Revolution. You got me, Mark Becker, and you've got Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Foo Fighters here for you. How about that? Playing the hits here on the Rational Revolution. You've got Mark Becker, and this is awesome. I'm so glad that we are sitting down with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We're talking about, you know, her experience, and she's running for governor, by the way, FYI. I want to talk about where are we right now. I think you've had some amazing experience, you know, what it's like in the old legislature, which arguably doesn't work really well. And now on the executive side. And I say that the legislature doesn't work really well because it has been so one-sided. Yeah. You know, you said on the other side that people are just, they're clamoring for just something. They want people to listen to them.
Yes. And they want solutions.
Right.
Right. They want solutions that actually affect their everyday lives. And so, that's when I go across all of the state, all 72 counties. That's what people are telling me. They just want to be able to live their lives, make a good living, maybe take a vacation or two with their kids. These are not unrealistic expectations or goals for families in Wisconsin. Right. And that's what I want to bring to the table. How can we make it so that people can afford not only just to survive, but to thrive in Wisconsin? And that means having a little bit of fun every once in a while, being able to take a vacation with your kids.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, is how much the Republican Party wants, you know, from the Party of Limited Government, they have, over the last, you know, almost 15 years, they've really wanted to be a very big part of people's lives, telling women what to do, telling people who they can and can't marry, those types of things. Mm-hmm. And not only they're doing that in spite of the people of Wisconsin saying, oh, you shouldn't stop doing that.
Right. Yeah.
And
if you,
go ahead. Yeah.
No, if you survey people relative to abortion rights, relative to reproductive health care, I'm a nurse by background, like we were talking about. I know what it looks like when people don't have access to reproductive health care, and it's extraordinarily dangerous.
Yes.
And we've seen that. We've seen those stories that have come out in every state in the union, even in Wisconsin. When people don't have access to reproductive health care, women get very sick and some women die.
Yeah.
And it's a huge, huge issue. And if you ask Wisconsin folks, what do they want? They do want access. They want abortion rights in Wisconsin. That's very, very important to them. And if you ask them about marriage equality, whether, do you care if who marries who? Wisconsinites don't care. They just want people to be happy, right? They don't care. So why are we pushing these culture wars?
Right.
When this is not the biggest thing that's on people's minds. So the biggest people, from what I hear from them, is making ends meet.
Well,
that's what they want to do. They want to be successful.
And I would argue too that with marriage equality, I would argue that Wisconsinites do care and they want people to be. If you want to marry that person that you love, hell yeah, absolutely,
absolutely.
Do it. You should.
Go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, it's been, because my background, I don't know if you know my background, I was the former chairman of the Brown County Republican Party. And I was someone who always was pro-marriage equality and pro-choice. And so I thought that, hey, we can be a big tent in the Republican Party, and there's room for someone like me that wants to, because I'm a business guy, I run a business, but, there's room for someone who can be fiscally mindful, but then also socially conscious too, conscious. And there was not. And so I left the Republican Party, and the rise of Trump won. And I worked with like the Lincoln Project and all that. But I think that there's Wisconsin, there are a lot of those people like that.
Yes.
And one thing that I appreciate about Governor Evers is that he was able to talk to those people and they respected him. Mm-hmm. And I think that, we have to get back to working together, like you said, and working for the people of Wisconsin, because it hasn't happened in a long time.
It hasn't happened in a long time. And that's what I would like this campaign to be about. I'm not running against anybody. I'm running for the people of Wisconsin. That's what I want to be able to do. And focusing on things that people care about. It's not these culture wars. It's just not. It's, it's about everyday economics for people. It's about sending your kids to a good school. It's about safe neighborhoods. It's about healthcare that you can actually access, housing that doesn't break the bank, accessible childcare. I talked to folks and there were women who were calling childcare providers when they were thinking about getting pregnant.
That's so sad.
Because the wait list was so long that they had to start calling around and ask, are you going to have an opening in a year?
Oh my God.
It's insane. I've got two kids, 16 and 18 now. We talked about it. But it was never like that when children were small. No. Yeah, it was a stretch for my budget to be able to afford childcare, but I had choices. I had options available to me. And it didn't completely break our budget to be able to do this. And it's breaking people's budgets
now. Yeah, and it's not fair. And I think, no one can tell that story like a mother. And I think that that's such a powerful thing to be able to have you to articulate that, because those are stories that people need to hear over the next, couple of few months here while this campaign goes. I want to talk because we're up against the break here, but I want to talk at the next one all about Sarah Rodriguez for governor. We're going to talk what prompted it. What are you doing? How are you going to help us? And how are you going to make this state fit into our more perfect union? So stick around on the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker sitting down with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hours after the release of a disappointing July jobs report, President Trump fired Erica McIntarfer, the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
I believe the numbers were phony, just like they were before the election, and there were other times. So you know what I did? I fired her.
Right.
And you know what? I did the right thing.
Economists, though, criticized the move, citing the Bureau's history of providing nonpartisan data on Wall Street. The Dow fell by more than 500 points, in part because of the president's new tariffs. President Trump also announced he's repositioning two new U.S. nuclear submarines, citing what he called highly provocative statements made by Russia's former president, Dmitry Medvedev. Authorities in Montana continue searching for Michael Brown, a 45-year-old suspected of entering a bar in Anaconda and opening fire, killing four people. It's not clear what led up to the shooting. And four astronauts now aboard the International Space Station, the replacement crew arriving via SpaceX. This is ABC News.
It's the Brewers and the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the nation's capital for game two of their series against the Washington Nationals. Milwaukee won by a landslide last night, 16-9. Blake Perkins with two home runs. Jackson Churiel placed on IL with a hamstring injury. So Brandon Lockridge, acquired in that trade with the Padres, came up with two hits. William Contreras with a home run and five hits, a new career high. Manager Pat Murphy.
Our guys were locked in. You know, they did a nice job. And you look at the output, Contreras, Perkins, Vaughn, and Kelly gets a couple hits, and Lockridge gets a couple hits in his first game for us. And you can't forget Perks, two homers, and Monasterio getting four hits. Joey Ortiz, he had five quality at-bats. Yeah, I mean, that's contagious.
NFL, the Packers hold practice inside Lambeau Field tonight for Family Night with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stephen Colbert has a few months left as host of The Late Show after the announcement he was let go by Paramount a couple weeks ago. Last week, former Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris appeared on the show and was asked by the host who the leader of the Democratic Party is. When she didn't answer to his liking, Colbert held her feet to the fire, and she finally said there are a lot of leaders. Sigh. Hard to believe the party is struggling. Harris was on the show to promote her book, 107 Days, which chronicles her whirlwind run for the presidency in 2024. And just like that, there will be no more Sex and the City, according to Variety. After six seasons of the original, two feature films, and three seasons of And Just Like That, series creator Michael Patrick King says the franchise is finally kaput for the time being. Sarah Jessica Parker paid tribute to her character, Carrie Bradshaw, with a montage on Instagram. The franchise finale will air August 15th on Max. Or whatever it's called now. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny and a high around 78. 55 tonight, mostly sunny on your Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. 78, mostly sunny on Monday. Tuesday, mostly sunny with highs in the low 80s, mid-80s Wednesday.
Right now, it's 52.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. In the morals that they worship, we'll be gone.
Welcome back. That's another banger. Oh, my gosh. We're on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Hey, if you like this discussion, go ahead, download the wherever you get your podcasts. Go to civicmedia.us. Like, share, talk about it with your friends, all that stuff. And our new friend here, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, is going to talk about the third time she had a sit down with her family and was like, here's what I'm thinking. How did that go? You're like, all right, guys. So, Assembly, Lieutenant Governor, hold on to your stuff because here's what's next.
Yeah. So, it was not an easy decision. And I didn't know what Governor Evers was going to do. I didn't know. So not until he gave me a heads up that he was not going to run for a third term, but it was the day that he announced. And so I had to think about it. I had to think, you know, what do we want to do? What do I bring to the table? And can I bring skills and a temperament to the table that I think is going to be valuable to Wisconsin? And do I think people across Wisconsin are looking for leadership that perhaps blends a little bit of the politics and outside outside experiences, either in business or in healthcare and those types of things. So talk to my husband again and my two kids, and now they're teenagers. And so they're a little less interested. I basically told them and they were like, okay, like just very nonplussed.
Whatever.
And, I know, whatever.
No big
but
deal.
I laugh. Exactly. But I laugh. I had taken my daughter backpacking on the Ice Age Trail.
Oh, cool.
And so she's 16. I took her last year and I asked her how she liked it. And she said, it was okay.
Yeah.
Which is high praise for a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
That's kind of the same reaction that they had, which was not, you know, wasn't upset or anything else. They were like, oh, okay.
So why now? Why is this the right time for you?
Because I think it's so important to keep a Democratic governor.
Yes.
What we've got going on in Washington right now with Donald Trump is utter chaos.
Yep.
Utter chaos. I talk to small business owners. I talk to families. They can't plan.
Right.
I went to Stoughton just the other day. I was in Stoughton. I was in a small business. It was an art gallery. He sells different types of art pieces. He also buys some things from overseas to supplement local artists. Mm-hmm. He went to go get one of the things that he normally would have in his store. And the price had gone up with all of the fees and all of the delivery pieces, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So he says, it's not just the tariffs. It's all of the delivery pieces. It's where these things come from across the globe. He goes, they allowed me to cancel my order because I didn't realize it was going to cost that much. He goes, but they told me I couldn't do it again. So he's not ordering things. I talked to other small business owners who have not ordered for the holiday season, for Christmas. These like touristy kind of fun shops that you can go into and buy unique gifts. They're not ordering because they know it's going to be so expensive and they don't want to raise prices on their customers. So we need solid, stable, sober leadership in Wisconsin. And I think I can bring that to the table. I think that my background and my experience outside of politics and inside of the political realm is a benefit for Wisconsinites. And I know I'm going to fight for the things that they care about.
Yeah, I know, you know, as a business owner here, I own a car dealership, and just to see all of the uncertainty, which puts fear into the consumer. And so they're not spending money, not with me or not with anybody else. And so that, that is a huge, huge thing too. That's kind of, and I think people don't really understand the amount of shielding that Governor Evers and you had to do with Donald Trump, and how much of a protection that governor's pen offers the people of Wisconsin.
It does. Governor Evers has vetoed really terrible legislation across, you know, Wisconsin, and he has been able to put dollars very wisely. That we had dollars that came in from the COVID pandemic, and Wisconsin weathered the storm better than many other states. We had, you know, we have a diverse business supplier type of chain within Wisconsin. We've got a diverse economy. And he was able to keep our unemployment rates lower almost by a percentage point than all the rest of the states around us. I want to continue that kind of leadership. I want to make sure that when it's appropriate to fight back, we're going to be fighting back against the federal government. And I know what's going to happen with this bill that they just put through. These Medicaid cuts are going to be devastating. And they're going to be most devastating in rural Wisconsin. We've already had hospitals that have closed. These hospitals are just hanging on by a thread. And so now you're going to have these Medicaid cuts, and it's going to be really challenging. We're going to see more hospital closures. We're going to see those types of things. So how do we push back? Push back against the federal government, and then expand Medicaid in Wisconsin so we can at least get some of those federal dollars that we're owed so that we can try to invest here.
I think it'll be interesting too, and what a what a clean sweep. I mean, this is a real reset button for the state of Wisconsin, because I think, you know, hopefully it's you on the top of the ticket. It's not only that, you'll have to go to these state senate districts, because we might be able to flip that, and so we actually might be able to get some like legislation and some progress happening in Wisconsin that hasn't happened in a decade.
We have a real chance of flipping the state senate and the state assembly in Wisconsin, and we keep the governor's seat. That is a trifecta we have not had in 17 years of not having that trifecta, so we can get some of these policies done. We know people, we can increase our funding for public schools. We can expand Medicaid. You know, we can do help with childcare funding. And another revenue generating thing that I know some people it's really important to is legalizing and legalizing marijuana and regulating it. So I'm a nurse. I'm the health issues here. We should regulate it just like we regulate alcohol. We want to make sure it doesn't get in kids' hands. We want to make sure that we know what's in it. But we are giving a whole lot of tax dollars away.
Oh my
to
God.
All of our neighboring states. In fact, Governor Pritzker thanks Governor Evers every time he sees him for all the Wisconsin Wisconsinites who are giving them tax revenue.
Whitmer should too. Up in the UP. Mm-hmm. It's you know, as someone who has a business mind, holy freaking crap, the entire industry that could be created like that.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yep. We're an agricultural industry. We have so much agricultural land here. We want our farmers to diversify. You know, these are some things that could happen in the state, and we could become a leader.
Right. And we're sitting down here with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who's announced her campaign for governor of Wisconsin. What are things that, is there something, what would you do differently than Governor Evers?
So, I think he's done a lot really, really well. He has been able to hold the line with a pretty stubborn and oppositional Republican-led legislature.
It's an impossible task.
It's an impossible task. I think we are very different people. I think our leadership styles are a little different. We come from different generations. I am firmly Gen X.
There you go.
The last feral generation, right? It was before phones and all of those things. Yeah. And I think we can fight for more. You know, we can fight for more. We can fight for more funding for schools. We can fight for more and really hold up people's feet to the fire. Okay, if you're not going to be voting for this, you're going to have to bring that back to your constituents here in Wisconsin who want what we're trying to get across the table. So making sure that people are accountable for, for their votes or their unwillingness to be able to put something to the floor for a vote.
What, and yeah, I mean, Tony, he had a hard task, and hopefully that
he did.
Hopefully that's not the case for the next 4 years. What, so what are your goals as governor?
So for me, I'm going to talk about, you know, economic areas, right? So these are the places where we need to put more support. So we've talked about a little bit, accessible, affordable healthcare, lots of pieces underneath that, but one of the big ones is Medicaid expansion. We're looking at housing costs. We just need to build more roofs in Wisconsin. And how do we look at that more broadly to say, is there a way we can do that faster, safely, to be able to lower housing costs for all? Childcare, we need to help with childcare costs. We've got childcare counts that came in the budget, but let's look at that holistically. What are other states doing? Is there something else we can do to make sure that not just people who may be under the median income, but it's really expensive for just everyday middle-class people to afford childcare. So how do we help them with that? And lastly, restoring those bargaining rights for unions. That is going to be a big priority of mine because it's just so important that people have a say in what happens in their workplace. They have a say in their benefits and their pay, and it raises wages for all.
Right. Well, raises the quality of workers, raises the quality of life for the workers. I mean, it's it does so many things. What can the governor do to expand Medicaid? I mean, I know that's a huge, huge thing. You see these cuts, and we think there was an article released today about a hospital in Manitowoc that is, is on the chopping block. What can the governor do about that? I know it sucks. It's ridiculous.
I know. Right now, the budget's already passed. He had it in his original budget. We put it in there. So it got cut out of the budget that just passed, but it can be standalone legislation. That's going to have to come from the Assembly and the Senate. And when I was in the Assembly, I authored the legislation to expand Medicaid, bring $2 billion over the biennium home to Wisconsin. We couldn't even get a hearing at all. Like, we couldn't even get, they wouldn't even listen to it. Wouldn't even have the conversation about it. No hearing in committee. So much less bringing it up to the floor for a vote. So putting some more pressure on, because it's going to be narrow margins. If we flip both chambers, we can get it done, which I'm going to be pushing for. But regardless, even if we don't flip both chambers, the margins are going to be narrow. It's going to be just really tight. Either the Republicans or the Democrats are going to be up two seats. So it's going to create a lot of pressure on those who are in purple seats to be able to say, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you bringing $2 billion home to Wisconsin?
Well, it's
why don't you want to bring money we're owed back to the state?
Right. And how do you fund it? Oh, I don't know. Legalize the thing that
can $2 billion.
Right. Legalize, legalize marijuana. And there it is.
We go.
It's not that hard. What, as you're doing this, we've got about a minute left. What's next for you? Are you hitting the road, seeing everybody, shaking hands?
I am. I'm still doing my job as Lieutenant Governor. I'm still going to hit all 72 counties. I'm really, really close. Actually, I think I'll be able to do it probably by the end of September
able
to get all 72 counties. So I've been doing it for a while, even before I announced I was running for governor. I'm going to be going all around the state, listening to people, trying to hear what they want from their governor, what they want from their administration. It's going to be a long haul. Our primary is next August, not this August, but next August. So that's about a year away. But it gives people a lot of time to get to know me, to get to know my policies, to understand what they want in their next governor.
Well, when you're in Green Bay, let us know because we'd love to have you in studio. We'll keep tabs on you and see how things are going. And I wish you so well. And I can't wait to talk to you, in the future and go kick some butt.
All right, I will.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on the Rational Revolution. We'll be right back with my thoughts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media Radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near
as
faded as my jeans.
You got the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. Thank you to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We're still playing that song. You know, State Senator Kristen Dessler, Alfheim's favorite song. So we will always play that for her because I know she does listen and she's awesome. And Sarah Rodriguez, oh my God, she's awesome too. I didn't know a lot about her, and the more I learned and the more I got to know her background, it's really impressive, you guys. Like, I seriously, she's going to be a good candidate. She's going to be a really good candidate, and I think she'd be a really good governor. She is brilliant, and she can punch pretty hard. So I think we'd be in good hands with her. So, I'm looking forward to following her campaign. But I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Because I was driving in, right before I was driving in, I was looking on Twitter and so I had my drive in to kind of stew on this, but I saw a tweet from, Representative Tony Weed, who represents the Northeast Wisconsin area. And I want to talk about that for a little bit because I think it encapsulates so much about kind of what is wrong in our politics. And it definitely is absolutely the spotlight's on one dude. We all know who that is, but Tony, he's kind of all over the board in what he sends out. You know, like last week, he talked about on Twitter. He was the leader of the Democrat Party. And sidebar, by the way, that is such a stupid insult. Stop doing that on the Republican side. The Democrat Party. It's the Democratic Party. All they're doing is just throwing little jabs in there to try to insult and be, you get under the skin of people that you don't like. You're a child, dude. Stop it. Anyway, so he's tweeted about that. You know, he's tweeted about the one big beautiful bill putting more money in the pockets of Wisconsinites, which is pretty well documented. Obviously, it's not going to do that. He's tweeted about illegal aliens, drunk driving. He's done a backhanded slap at Tony Evers retiring. I get it. Like, he's a freshman in Congress who's owned some gas stations, and now he's trying to figure out his place in the United States Congress. You know, and I've toyed around with the idea of running to it. And that in those discussions, you kind of know, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a fiscal hawk? Are you going to be a budget person? Are you going to be a national defense person? Are you going to focus on industry, healthcare, tax, defense, all that stuff? And Tony, he's trying to brand himself. You know, he's trying to figure out what he's going to do, because he was, when he ran for office, he was Trump endorsed Tony Weed. So really, you're nothing. You are what Trump says you are. And so, like, you're, I think they call it, what, an empty suit. You're an empty suit, right? And so that brings me what he tweeted today. And he said this. He said, "The air quality in Northeast Wisconsin is currently unhealthy," which, like, no beep, you know, you think? And he said, "Americans shouldn't have to suffer the consequences of Canada's poor forest management. We must work together to prevent future wildfires across our border and to protect the air quality across Wisconsin." Like, again, you said this word salad, bro. You said nothing. You said nothing. And so I'm dubbing him because, you know, if we're going to take a page out of MAGA's book, which, you know, hey, whatever, I'm not above that. We're going to call him Tone Deaf Tony Weed. Okay, Tone Deaf Tony. And here's the problem with that tweet. Trump has MAGA convinced that the one solution to these fires is to, like, rake the forest. You remember that? When he said to Governor Newsom, "All you got to do is rake the forest." It's like, oh, okay, cool. And so here's Tony Weed. You know, they have to, the forest management, you know, which like, if you think about it, you got a guy that owned some gas stations, and he's coming into this discussion filled with forest management people and people that have done this, spent their lives studying this science. And here's Tony. You know what you guys got to do here, you know, it's like, oh, man, if only we thought about that. We should have thought raking the forest. Man, boy, Jim. Did you ever think of that? Like, honestly, Tone Deaf Tony Weed. And so what he does is he takes these talking points from Trump, regurgitates them on Facebook and Twitter and all that. And whatever he hears from the Politburo in the Oval Office, that's what is said. And the problem is none of it makes any freaking sense. None of it makes sense. Because when you think about it, when you think about what they have to do. Canada's wilderness is nearly half the size of the continental United States. The lower 48, it's nearly half the size. And so, like, to try to put into context what it would take to rake the freaking forests of Canada, Tony, you are blissfully ignorant, gleefully ignorant. Tony, you are a sheltered individual living in a bubble inside your own little MAGA world where facts and reason and common sense are literally nowhere to be found. You're a fool. You're a deluded fool, completely detached of reality. And I would love for Tone Deaf Tony Weed to come on and have a civil, facts-based discussion on all of this. Come on the show, Tony. Come tell the people of Wisconsin what you've been up to, because you're not telling people here in your district. Sure, you might go to businesses and do some tours. That's easy stuff. But you're not facing the voters and actually having common sense, fact-based, civil discussion on any of this stuff with anyone who disagrees. Come on, Tony. Let's talk about it. Tone deaf Tony Weed. Come on, The Rational Revolution with me, Mark, your host. Which, we're out of time. Plum out of time. Thank you for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker. Again, thanks to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. We will see you next week.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Dow fell by more than 500 points Friday in the aftermath of sweeping new tariffs issued by President Trump. ABC's Selena Wang has more on these tariffs.
American businesses say they're already paying the price. Ford estimated the tariffs will cost the company $2 billion this year. Procter & Gamble, which makes everything from toothpaste to detergent, says it's raising prices on one quarter of its products, passing some of those tariff costs on to consumers.
The underwhelming July jobs report combined with the revised downward numbers from previous months led President Trump to fire the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. He said the numbers were wrong. Authorities in Montana are searching for the man they say walked into a bar in Anaconda and shot and killed four people Friday. And the president's envoy to the Middle East, Steve Witkoff, is meeting in Tel Aviv with the families of hostages. This is ABC News. A Smith